Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning into my podcast, Xena, Life as a Dominatrix. This is episode 20. This will be broadcasted tomorrow, Tuesday, October 11th, 2022. Today's topic, story time, part one. I am reading passages from the first self-published book that I published, titled Xena Life as a Dominatrix, available on Amazon. Yes, I'm plugging that in because it's a important first book that I have written. It's over 300 pages, so if you would like to take a deep dive and learn about my life and some tips and some advice and journal entries, etc., 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 etc. They're all, a lot of information is listed in my book, found on Amazon. So today I decided, hey, let me pull out my book and read some chapters. Not all the chapters, but just a little snippet. And I found it important for me to talk about the past and reminisce about the past, bring up the past. I like to think about the past, but that was the past. And nowadays, I just focus on the present moment. And when I read about certain things that happened in the past, I'm like, oh, wow, that happened. Wow, that happened. I think because I don't have the greatest memory. Like, for instance, somebody will say, oh, don't you remember this moment at a party, or this, what you did to so and so at a party, da da da. I'm like, no, I don't, because the parties for me, it just went by like so super fast, and it was kind of like a whirlwind throwing the parties, although I threw the parties almost at least once a month for about 9 years, third Saturday of every month, but that was the past. I remember when I did move here to New York, somebody did, one of my friends did ask me if I'm going to throw parties here in New York. And honestly, I don't have any intention to. I have my reasons, and I feel like the whole throwing parties thing was all in my past. So yeah, let me take a open up this chapter one. I'm just gonna scroll through the chapter, and let's see, childhood. And also, like, for everybody's childhood, I find it like that's your foundation of your upbringing, and yeah, it's very important. It's very important to have a good childhood for sure. My childhood. Okay, well, let me start reading. Okay. There were days that I was happy, there were days that I was sad, there were days that I was joyful, and there were days that I was mad. Words that best describe me at the age of five. I was a little rebel, a brat, and a little punk at times. Sometimes I was sweet, and sometimes not so sweet. To this day, I ask myself, why was I angry as a child? My guess is because I would constantly witness my parents fight. It was never a dull moment in my household. My mom gave birth to me at the age of 17, and my dad was 19. I cannot imagine what they went through taking care of little old me. In between jobs, or working their asses off to take care of me. My mom had to drop out of high school. My dad already was a high school dropout. Let's see. March of 1982, my mom was 7 months pregnant with me, and then my parents got married at the Cook County Courthouse. And then 2 months later, I was born. What was I told by my mom? What I was told by my mom was that my dad never held me as a baby. He was too afraid. In past photos, my dad even looked angry, whereas my mom looked happy. Why was my dad so angry? Whatever happened to him? I have to assume this. His mom, my grandma, was constantly angry with her children. My grandma blew, excuse me. You know, I'll skip that. It's basically discussing about my grandmother's, in reality, like, oh, here we go. She, my grandma, my dad's mom, always shared this one with me. When your mom was pregnant, I told my son to get rid of it. Then my grandma would glance at me and begin to cry. My grandma wanted my mom to abort me. Thankfully, they decided to keep me. I wouldn't have been here if they would have gone that route. My grandma regrets suggesting that to both of my parents. My mom, on the other hand, had grown up having an extremely strict mother. Her mom, my other grandma, she gave birth to 7 kids and was basically a single mom. And then I scroll to the neighborhood I grew up in. It was safe in the 80s in Chicago. It gradually became bad in the early 90s. Still scrolling. Still scrolling to chapter 2 in 1987. My mother gave birth to my sister. She was so cute. Then soon after, my thoughts of, "Aw, she's so cute," went away. All the attention was given to her. I slowly became angry and jealous. Since I was the oldest, I was a little punk to her. I was bossy to her. I was mean to her. Do I regret it to this day? Actually, I do. A younger sibling should look up to their older sibling. But as we were growing up, we began to really hate each other. I remember all the times we would grab each other's hair and start pulling. Or all the times we would leave bruises on other on one another from all the hitting. For all the fights that happened, I was the one that was punished by my parents for that. Sometimes my sister would pick the fights, but I was blamed each and every time. To think of it, she got away with a lot more than I did. There are images of us smiling and some images that were not so happy. I have countless memories of her and me getting into fights. Even a neighbor asked me how it feels to have a baby sister. And this part I don't remember saying, but I apparently said that I don't like it at all. Maybe because of all the attention was going to her instead of me. Or maybe because I felt like I was nobody anymore. So I'm scrolling. let's see. Since my parents fought all the time, I thought that that was the norm. So I would fight with my sister. I had the mentality it was my way or the highway. I recall being a little brat to my parents, especially my mom, since she was not much of a disciplinarian compared to my dad. I would con my way to get what I wanted. I would get the threats from my mom. "If you keep behaving like that, we're going to put you up for adoption." I thought my mom really meant it, but I would continue to behave like a little shit to test her. If I tried that shit with my dad, I would get sent to the corner for spanking with the belt. My mom would say, if I behaved like you as a kid, my mom would make us grab a tree branch from the backyard. And guess what my grandma did with those tree branches? Spank her kids with it. I'm scrolling down to 1988. Let's see. Basically, talking about my childhood. At the age of six, I was 6 years old in 1988, I started to feel a strange attraction to women. Not my little girlfriends who were my age, but actual women. My mother had some really hot friends who would come over, who all had children of their own. We would either play Barbies or cars, depending on who was over. I remember taking off the Barbie's clothes and letting the Barbie dolls do naughty things with each other. Who does that? Me, the little pervert kid. Let's see, scrolling. Let's see. Oh, I'm discussing where my parents decided to buy cable TV, and one of the channels happens to be some porno channel. Who would get a porn channel with a 2-year-old and a 6-year-old living in the home? They do. They did. It was probably my dad's decision to get the channel. That's just my guess. So, what would I do at 3 a.m. when everyone was asleep but me? Watch porn. Why not? I didn't know what the couples were doing, but quickly realized what was happening. So I'm keep scrolling and scrolling. So I remember another night at 3 a.m., I turned on the TV to mute just to watch porn. I remember my face being really close to the TV, always checking behind my shoulder, hoping my parents wouldn't catch me. Guess what happened one night? I was caught. Goodbye, porno channel. To think of it, I'm like, this is not reading from the book, but my thoughts. To think of it, I'm like, that's so like, sure, it was very irresponsible of my parents to buy this porno channel. And why would I, if I keep questioning the past, it'll always just be like, why this and why that or why that? And my answer, well, it was the past. And I just became attracted to watching these naughty movies and then getting caught, and luckily they decided to delete the channel. And I'm like, maybe because also with the attraction of women, grown women, in reality, like my mom and I and my sister, we would go to McDonald's and back then, it was so awesome to go to McDonald's in the neighborhood. And the women working there, they would wear these very tight pants. So, what my mom didn't know was that I would look at the women's butts. Like, that was my fascination, my attraction, or like just would look at the butts, and then I would be so distracted looking at their butts, them not knowing, and I would feel like a little naughty kid. But that was just my personal experience. Okay, going back to my the book. I believe that might be the reason for having a love of the female form. As a child, every single time I'd see a female's big ass, And all I'd fantasize about is touching and grabbing it. I was truly hypnotized by booty. I can remember my teachers, my aunts, even the ladies at my favorite restaurant where my parents would take us, all would have big butts. They were everywhere. I didn't tell a soul because I didn't want to be known as a freak or a weirdo or a little pervert. To this day, my male friends and I check out big old butts. Actually, it was a couple of male friends in Chicago. I started writing this book in 2015, and I finally, this is off topic, I finally published the book in 2020 of March, right after all the pandemic news. And I thought, okay, I gotta keep myself busy because I'm not going to take any sessions, accept any sessions. I'm going to keep my distance. Okay, what do I have to do at home? What do I need to do actively to get my brain going? Oh, yes, I'm working on this project, my book. Oh, yes. I would put it to the side and write and put it to the side and write, getting writer's block and all that. So I thought, okay, let me just, publish the book. And I was planning on publishing the book in 2020, but I wasn't sure when exactly. I think I might have, like in my head, I might have said maybe March or April of 2020. So, had it proofreaded and then published it. Anyway, so when I wrote this particular paragraph, this was probably in 2015, and I had like two male friends who were also into big butts. So we would talk about the love of big butts. And yeah. yeah. Oh, let's see. So, fast forwarding to I'm just scrolling the book. There's a section where I discuss 1990. And some things I remember and some things I don't, honestly. And then my mom would bring up stuff like, hey, do you remember when this happened or when your teacher did this or when your aunt or uncle did this? Like, no, I don't remember. So I'm discussing more about my childhood. And honestly, it is so important to have a child not exposed to getting access to porn or not cursing in a household, not fighting, not, I mean, I can't express my feelings to my parents, like, why did you do this, or why did you do that, or this and that, and this and that, because they were young themselves. They were in their late teens, early 20s, mid 20s, raising me. And how I was back then, I was, a bit immature too. So honestly, like, I assume it was definitely a struggle for them, for any young parent to raise a child. And I applaud parents, I really do. And I think why they were angry with each other constantly, my parents, was because how they were raised. That's just my guess. How I would hear stories about how my own grandma, my mom's mom, would discipline her kids by basically telling each kid, oh, you mess up or you misbehave or you don't do this, then I'm going to have to whip you with a tree branch. I'm like, she was such a nice woman. She was a nice grandma. And I'm like thinking, she really did that? She, like, some of the stories I can't believe, but this was in the 60s and in the 70s when times were different. Times are definitely different. And this was actually in the 50s. She started, my first aunt was born in the 50s. So she had seven kids in a 20-year span. And I think, wow, that's incredible. But it's so important to grow up in a healthy environment. It's so crucial. It really is. Yeah. So that's my two cents. So I'm definitely not going to read all the chapters. Let's see, what time am I at? I'm at the 21-minute mark already, just rumbling here. I hope you've enjoyed this little podcast of little passages in my book, Xena: Life as a Dominatrix. So yeah, the seventh grade, I'll scroll to the seventh grade. Before I really developed, I felt ugly. But when my boobs began to grow rapidly, it seemed like they got huge overnight, all of a sudden. I was noticed by fellow classmates. Let's see. All the girls were pretty much developing. All the girls would either wear baggy shirts or tight shirts. I stayed with the baggy t-shirts, and once I recall wearing a tight yellow shirt. Now I'm like thinking, yellow? Yellow? Me in yellow? So in that moment, the boys in the class looked right at me, but they were looking at me or my boobs. My guess, my boobs. When I would walk home from school, I recall having people honk their car horns at me. Let me rephrase myself. Grown-ass men honking at a 13-year-old. Sick. There were times where both my mom and I would receive whistles and honks. For many years, it was unpleasant just walking around the neighborhood. Yeah, these were real perverted ass people, just honking and just whistling and giving this sign that they would make with their mouth, like they would do this sound, like psst, 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 psst. It's like, what the fuck? You know, what the fuck? Don't talk to me. I'm 13. You're disgusting. And fuck off, you know? Just disgusting, really. And no 13-year-old or my mom should have dealt with that. She was 30 years old, and I was 13. She did look like my sister, though, for sure. And then she would proudly say, nope. I'm her daughter. You know, she was so proud of that. Okay, 1995, 1996. Reading, I'm reading. So, high school of 1996, that's when I started high school. The first day was terrifying. So what did I do to keep busy? As a freshman, I joined the track, the swimming, and the basketball team. I survived track team for about 2 or 3 weeks, swimming for 1 or 2 weeks, and basketball for 2 years. My first real boyfriend was a high school boyfriend. I was 14 and he was 18 and ugly. Luckily, that lasted for less than 1 month. I don't know what I was thinking, but he was in the alternative clique. These alternative kids had piercings, wore baggy pants, trench coats, wallet chains, all black or tie-dyed t-shirts. They were defined as freaks, and they were totally cool with that. And they'd play hacky sack outside and smoke cigarettes and pot. I was offered pot, but refused to smoke it. I wanted to belong to this group because they were different, and so was I. So my fashion drastically changed. And their music taste was alternative music, not rapper or R&B, but metal or rock. So my musical taste changed. My parents really didn't understand me, and I still didn't get along with them at the time. From my childhood at age 16 was when I would tell them that I hated them because I felt like they didn't love me. I felt that they loved my sister more. I was overall a jealous brat. At any rate, I think I did all right in school. I think I had okay influences. Sure, they were different, but they were much cooler than the other kids. The other kids were either geeks, pregnant, gangbangers, or just plain boring. So back then, this is off topic. Yeah, to think of it like what an age difference, 14-year-old, 18-year-old. He's considered an adult. I'm considered a minor. 18 is an adult. And I don't believe I even told my mom about this. I think I just wanted to have a boyfriend because everybody in high school, all the girls had boyfriends. So I'm like, why not? And he smoked weed. He wore. I remember his name to this day. I'm not gonna say it. he wore baggy pants, and then I remember one day, yeah, we had broken up, and then maybe a week later, I started kissing his best friend, and his best friend was like a totally Kurt Cobain lookalike, around 18 years old as well. Yeah, and I did get good grades, kept busy, and yeah, in reality, like a lot of girls were getting pregnant at age 15, 16, 17, 18, and I'm like, wow. And then I believe my mom, said, don't you dare be one of those, and something in that nature. Like that's a no-no. You have to finish school. Then the whole traditional way. You go to school, you go to college, you get a job, you get married, and then you get pregnant. but I'm like, whoa, that's just real fast for a teenager to let me just focus on present day. But I was just having fun, I wanted to fit in back then in high school. I didn't want to be a part of a gangbanger clique or I was in the basketball team for about 2 years, so I was friends with a lot of them as well. And growing up in that neighborhood really drastically got bad. In reality, I've seen fights. I've been in fights. I've didn't I in seventh grade I did no yes I did I take that back yes I did In seventh grade, I initiated two fights. Shame on me. I shouldn't have. But what do they say? You live and you learn. And it was just, it was a good neighborhood and then it changed to bad. So that's another thing, growing up in a bad neighborhood, you get tough really quick, or you're taught to be tough really quick, or taught how to fight and defend yourself really quick. My parents didn't teach me any of that because my mom was just so gentle and kind. Just had that personality. And then I remember one day where a little girl was picking on me, and then I told my mom, "Why don't you do something?" So, I had to learn for myself how to be tough. That's all I'm trying to say. And to grow up, it's important to grow up in a safe environment. Bottom line, safe neighborhood, safe household, welcoming household, great parents. Not all parents are perfect, really. I do applaud parents that, they try their hardest to be the best that they could. I can't imagine that because I don't have any children. But to take care of a kid or kids, that's gotta be, I give you a pat on the back, if you're listening to this and you're, struggling to pay bills and put food on the table and take good care of your kid or kids. I applaud you for that. And it's very important for a kid or kids to not get access to pornography. It really is important to not give them access. I'm not blaming my perversions on porn. I think it was careless of my personal parents to do that. And also giving my sister more attention. I think that's a, giving kids equal attention is so important, really. Luckily, we all have a good relationship with one another. And some of the things that I've said in the book, wrote in the book, I mean, I read them over and over again, and it sounds like, wow, this chick has daddy issues. Yeah, I've had issues with my parents, but now, currently, present day, I focus on the present, and now it's all a good relationship. And that's important to make amends, to recognize your wrongdoings, wrongdoing your wrongdoings. If you're wrong, apologize. Yeah, it's important. It's important to have a good relationship with loved ones. I know lots of people who they have broken off communication to their parents. There's so many reasons why they have, but that's their choice. That's their life, and it's unfortunate that it would come down to that. I know somebody else who has not talked to his mom and over, I can't remember what length, a lot of years, let's just say that. And now he made amends a couple years ago, actually. And now they're buddies, they're friendly again. But yeah, this is all great to talk about in my book and out of my book, talking about it and expressing my thoughts. And there's, yeah, life can be a whirlwind. Let's just say that. And like when I read this book that I wrote, it seems like a real whirlwind. But it, I'm just plugging in the book. If you're into reading autobiographies or you're bored or you're curious about learning about BDSM or tips on submission, dominance, fetishism, et cetera, it's all a lot of information is has been written in my book, Xena: Life as a Dominatrix, found on Amazon. And yeah, if you have any questions about anything that I've discussed, you are more than welcome to send me an email. And each and every my podcast episode, I have a little link that states support the show, and that leads to my Venmo. So that's totally up to you if you'd like to donate or not. It's not obligated, but tips are appreciated. And yeah, this was all great, and thank you so much for listening. The next episode will be broadcasted next Tuesday. Let's see, October 18th, 2022. The topic to be announced. Take care, everyone.